What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12. The Bible says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So God wants you to make a foolproof of eternal life. Make a foolproof as to why he called you. You know, the scripture that Pastor Dio read to us while we're praying this evening, Paul said, pray for the Ephesian church. He said that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. He said that God grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. He said the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Or let's put it this way, that you may know what was on his mind when he was calling you. Are you with me? And to live out that purpose. To live out that plan. Every single person that's called of God, God had a plan. God has a plan for you. There's something he wants to do with your life before he called you. And this scripture, where we read in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, is saying that we may prove what is good. God's plan and purpose for you is good, is acceptable, and is the perfect will of God for your life. But these can only take place through the process of what? Transformation. That's what we've been looking at. Growing up spiritually. We said growth is God's plan for every child of his. So that everything he saw in his heart when he was calling you, you will become it. Not in heaven, here on earth. So in becoming that, we said that it's important to do the needful. It's important to understand that growth is something that you have to be deliberate about. Are you with me? It's something that you have to be intentional about. It's something that you have to be strategic about. So we said that word transformation there, the word transformed in Romans chapter 12 verse 2, is the word to metamorphosize, which we get the word metamorphosis. And we said it is best described by the various stages of the butterfly, where first of all, at inception, it starts with the first circle of just being an egg. Then from the egg, we said it becomes the larva. The larva becomes the pupa, and then from the pupa it becomes the beautiful butterfly. So when a butterfly, permit me to use the word, is born and it's in the egg form, if you're not careful, are you with me? You might not even know the beautiful thing that is encased in that egg. And we said that is where it all begins for the believer. That day that you believed Jesus and you received him into your heart, something happened. Now, it might not have looked like anything happened on the outside, but there's transformation that had begun on the inside. That somebody will open his mouth and say, I believe with my mouth, with my heart, the Lord Jesus. And then confess with his mouth that Jesus is Lord. That moment, regardless of how he feels, are you getting me? If he made that prayer from his heart, believing God's word, eternal life has moved into him. Now, that's what we're saying, that it might not show on the outside in the days to, immediately after that confession. The person might even still be struggling with one or two things, but how many of you know a new life has begun on the inside? That's why eternal life does not start on the outside. Physical background from their native country, from the place where they grew up and all that. If you start on that note, you'll be having issues. That is why, amen. That is why Jesus talking with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is after the flesh. He said, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Meaning that if you are born of the spirit, what you need to do now as a child of God is to begin to renew your mind to the fact that my origin is no longer from my parents. And listen, this is going to stir your faith and cause you to walk in the victorious life that God has called you to walk. Because you might have come with certain kinds of diseases. You might have come with certain kinds of mood swings. Are you with me? You might have come with certain emotions, things that have come from your natural background. But listen to me, it doesn't mean you must live with them. To be born again means now means that you have a new life has begun in you, and you can trace your origin from the Word of God. So that anything you see in God's Word is not what you are trying to become. Anything you see in God's Word is who you are. You know, I really love the letter of Peter. I was going through the book of Peter the other day, and I was so excited. You know, if you take time to read the whole of 1 Peter, the first letter of Peter to the church. You know, one of the things I liked about Peter's epistle is that, first of all, you know, it's as though he was following through these stages of metamorphosis that we're talking about. Because the first thing Peter begins to talk about is that Peter addresses the fact that they are born of the incorruptible seed of God's word. He did his best to establish that, look, you were not redeemed with mundane things as money, as silver and gold, whether you come from a family with silver spoon or not, it doesn't matter. That you are redeemed with something more precious. Something more precious. Listen, for the believer, it is ludicrous to think in your mind that something from your earthly parents can follow you. Permit me to use a Nigerian colloquial, amen. Can follow you into this supernatural life that you are receiving in Christ Jesus. To think, are you with me? To think, listen, that because it happened to your parents this way, it will happen to you that way. That means your mind is not because something has not happened to you. It only means your mind has not been renewed to what has happened to you. That there are early deaths in your family doesn't mean it's going to be the same with you. That there is even a disease condition in your earthly family does not mean it's going to move. That means, you know, if it's something, you know, most times you meet with doctors, they say, is there any history of this, history of this, history of this, history of this, history of this? Listen to me. There's no history of anything in eternal life. The only history you have is that if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead abides in you, that same spirit also quickens your mortal body. It means that you're exactly like he. That's not the Bible says in 1 John, as he is in this, as he is in heaven, so are we in this world. We're exactly like Jesus. We are wall to wall Jesus. We are not trying to be like him. We are like him. You get what we're saying? So it's important. So that's the first thing Peter says. Then when you go into 1 Peter chapter 2, he begins to bring out identity to them. He says, desire the sincere milk of God's word. And we said this is the larval stage. We said one of the things that happens that when the egg is transformed into larva, are we together? It is characterized by a lot of eating. And we said, spiritual hunger is meant to be fed, not killed. You notice somebody gets born again, always wants to be in church. Anytime there's a meeting, the person is there. Every program, the person is going for it. The best thing to do is to feed that hunger. It is not maturity when you are no longer running around. I know in those days they will say, you have zeal without knowledge. See, it's better to have zeal than feed it with knowledge. If at any point in time in your Christian walk with God, the spiritual things no longer excite you, see, take a fast. Are you with me? Take a break and say, Lord, that joy, that hunger, that drive in me, do what? Restore it. It doesn't mean you are no longer born again. It means that the hunger that is necessary for growth, you are not giving attention to it. And that's why we say it's very important to watch the friends you keep and the kind of, when you get saved, and you need to begin to cut off some things. You know what I mean by cut off? You need to draw boundaries, because you can't grow without boundaries. You need to provide yourself with company of lover, like-minded believers who love God's word, who are going all out for spiritual things. Not people who make jest of spiritual things. So Peter says in verse 4, desire the pure milk of God. He said, committing to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Verse 5 says, you also, that means you're exactly like Christ. The same way Jesus is the cornerstone, he has made you a stone. You also, as living stones, are built up a what? A spiritual house. A holy priesthood to offer up what? spiritual sacrifice is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What is he saying? What is he saying? He's opening their eyes to see who they are. You know why? Without identity, you can't function effectively in life. You know, some Christians are still struggling after being born again for many years. You know why? They don't even know they are lively stones. Some think they are dead stones. They don't know who they are in Christ, what they have in Christ, or what they can do in Christ. These are basics. I know who I am. So that when the devil shows up, you have an answer for him. When situations come, you need not to lose your identity. One of the lessons you learn in the temptation of Christ in those 40 days in the wilderness was the fact that the devil was questioning his identity. He says, if you be the Son of God, Lord, turn these stones. If you be the Son of God. It's not as much as turning the stones to bread, as much as it is that he was questioning his what? Identity. So what you're saying in essence, if you think you are the Son of God, do this. Amen. That's not why Jesus would turn stones to bread. Praise God. But Jesus was establishing his identity. Are you getting me? Now, this identity thing is very important. If the devil shakes you and moves your balance from who you are, it will affect your disposition to life and everything you do. You are no longer that coward. You are as bold as a lion in Christ Jesus. You are no longer that sickly person. Am I talking to someone? You don't even need to address yourself in that light. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. I will show you something. 2 Corinthians 7. Verse 2. Okay, no, let's read from verse 1. Look at what Paul says. Therefore, having these what? Promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of God. Let's see what he says next. Open your heart to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. And he has the audacity to say, I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. When I was watching the series AD, you know, Paul's, and it came to that part where Paul, then Saul, got saved. And he had that experience on the road to Damascus. You know, one of the ways he was presented in AD was that it was difficult for the church to accept him. They were afraid. Now, come to think about it, if you know the gravity of terror that Paul unleashed on the church, you will understand what he meant. Are you with me? To say that this Paul, who once tormented the church, is now saved because he tormented the church thinking he was doing the will of God. So you can understand Paul's personality. Paul was a name that Christians feared. And you know, the way Reverend Ada put it the other day made me laugh, but it's so true. Paul was not just killing people who went to worship in the temple. He was going to their houses. Imagine somebody moving into your house and say, are you a Christian? He kills you. That's what he was doing. So you can imagine that he has killed people. There are people that Paul has shown their death. And these people are scattered all over. And some of them are in Corinth. And Paul is writing a letter to them. And he's saying in verse 2, open your heart. Paul is speaking with so much confidence and audacity. Open your heart to us. Then next statement, we have no one. He says, we have corrupted
No one. We have cheated no one.
You must understand where you are coming from to be able to talk like that. See, if Paul didn't trace his route to what had happened to him on the inside, he would never have been able to fulfill his ministry. Because guilt would have been staring him in the face everywhere he went. Imagine the people who sat there, whom probably Paul had killed their cousin. And yet he could say, do what? I wrong no one. In fact, verse 3 is the part that really gets, and I'm not saying this to condemn you. Amen. Amen. Be established in who you are in Christ. And this comes by feeding on God's word. Feeding aggressively. If you sense your spiritual energy very low, take some time and lock yourself somewhere. Refuse to do anything one weekend and soak in God's word. Colossians chapter 3 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you how? Richly. The word richly means abundance to point of saturation. So that if life squeezes you or anything touches you, are you getting me? What comes out is the word. It's like a sponge that has soaked water. It's touched. When you touch it, water comes out. The Bible says, let the word of Christ, the truth of scriptures, let it soak you. Thank you, Lord. So that's the lava stage. Amen. Then we said, you know, from the lava stage, you go to the pupa, where you begin to, this word begins to form something on the inside of you. This word begins to shape your perception. This word begins to shape your character, shape your personality. First of all, the word births you. Now that you are reflecting on who you are you getting me? Your real person begins to come out. I prefer to use the word to polish you. Now, this is the state, are you with me? Where you go into hibernation mode. And what do I mean by hibernation? It begins to look as though you are too spiritual. When there's a Holy Ghost service, you rather want to go there than a night of thousand love. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, spiritual things begin to become your greatest realities. Your passion is for spiritual things. And that's when some friends begin to ask, we don't see you these days again. No. Something is happening. The word of God is giving you a new set of ideals. See, this is not what you try to do. In the past, this is the problem we've had. They told us to do those things so that we can be good Christians. Those things are actually the offshoot of a spiritual walk with God. It is not something that somebody can put on you. It's something that is pushing you from the inside. That you cannot be having a relationship with God's word that it will not show on the outside. That it will not begin to shape your thoughts, shape your words. Even the way you used to talk before will change. You now have a language of faith. It's not like you are trying to say, you know, like you are sick. They say, are you sick? No, I am not sick. You know, then what? You know, that's not what we're talking about. It's because there's a conviction. Hallelujah. When friends are going to have one or two bottles, you know, it doesn't move you anymore. When they are using cuss words, you are wondering, do people still talk like that? Come, am I talking to someone? I remember one of our brothers here, he's even here this evening, when he got saved. One of those days, you know, I went on Facebook and I saw he was there, and he was warning his old friends. Because they had put some very suggestive pictures and he just put a very stern warning and said, I'm not that man anymore. And stop tagging me with these things. Amen. You see, something is happening to him. Today, the butterfly life is showing in him. I can't testify. Do you understand what I'm saying? You come to that place where you're not living for anybody's opinion. Like we saw last week. You know, you are wearing Christ as your designer. He's your new designer. That is why Paul never spoke of character without addressing personality. He told them, you're a lively stone. He's in chapter, towards the end of chapter 2. He now begins to tell them, wives, be like this. Husbands, be like this. Servants, be like this. Obey those in authority. What? You can do that now, not out of a struggle, but it's flowing from the core of a new man. Listen, if you're a believer and pay your bills, don't live like an unsaved person. Don't try to beat systems. That is poverty thinking. Somebody's quiet. So, what we do flows from who we are. It flows from a deep understanding of who we are. So sometimes when you see Christians struggling with certain things, you can tell that they've never really taken time to give attention to God's word, to allow that word take root on the inside of them, to cause a change that comes from where? Inside. So all our external struggles are actually just a reflection of inner struggles, inner emptiness. Say amen if you can. So Colossians chapter 2 is where we stopped last week. Quickly, let's go there. Colossians chapter 2, chapter 3, Message Translation. So it's at this purpose stage, you take a stand in faith against things that the devil might want to throw against you. You develop a thick shell called the shield of faith. It's not like negative things are not happening. But now, are you with me? The word of God has developed immunity in you. It becomes your defense. Colossians 3, verse 2. Don't shuffle along. Eyes to the ground. Absorb with the things right in front of you. See, can I speak to someone? The heavenly life is a way superior life. Give me old King James. I need to feel myself. Old King James. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Don't be in a rush. Set your affection. Set your affection. And you can't set your affection outside God's word. When the Bible says set your affection on things above, the things that are above are in this book. The way to look above is not to come out every day and be looking this way. To look above means to be looking into the word. That means you are latching on something deeper than earthly things. Set your affection. Listen, if the Bible says set your affection, it's because you can set it. And your affection is always set on things that you constantly feed upon. If you feed on the wrong thing, that's what you always be thinking about. Your affection heads in the direction of what you feed. What are you always looking at? You know, Jesse Duplantis said, and I agree with him, all the devil has from you that he can use. You know your spirit mind doesn't have anything there. You know that? Because your spirit is redeemed. He can't use your spirit, but he can use your flesh. He can use your flesh. And the flesh devil. He's not a faith devil, he's a flesh devil. So he will always want to condition your flesh. And the Bible says what directs the flesh is a carnal mind. And the Bible says to be carnally minded is death. See, listen to me. There are universal laws that God has kept to preserve and help man. Grace doesn't mean break them. I give you an example. Through the grace of God, you've been saved, and God loves you eternally. That does not mean when you are crossing the road, you shouldn't look left or right. If you refuse to stay faithful to your wife, to your spouse, grace does not mean when you cheat, God will help you. I hope you know that. Grace means that I will help you not to cheat. Because God knows what's going to happen to you when you are caught. You are going to be wailing. You are going to be embarrassed. You are going to be sad. You will be ridiculed. God will still pamper you and he will still love you. But you are going to go through all that. And hear me. Even though the blood of Jesus has cast it into the sea of forgetfulness, some heavy scuba divers are going to reach deep down to where it went and do their best as much as they can. Do what? Pull it out. The flesh profited nothing. Let me say it again. This flesh does not profit anything. Can I repeat it? This flesh does not profit anything. So anything the flesh is suggesting to you, think twice. Think twice. Your brother called me once and said, you're just crying. I said, I said, the girlfriend got pregnant. They didn't know it happened. I said, what are you expecting? A Range Rover Sport? You didn't know how it happened? Do you know the process that leads to this place where you are crying? But I don't even know where it started. Affection. He had been feeding something. You can't be feeding on God's word. Are you with me? And be feeding on that at the same time. If you feed the flesh, it will embarrass you. If you feed your spirit, it will honor you.
Hallelujah.
So scripture says, mortify, kill the desires of the flesh. This flesh is giving me nothing. If you've ever run before, let me see your hands, or maybe in primary school, not professional, you've run, on your mark, get set, ready, go. Now, let's just be honest. If you won, let's see your hand up. If you won. Really? Okay, all those people. Okay. If you never came first in a 100-meter dash, just be honest. Amen. Yeah, 100-meter dash. God bless you. God bless you for saying the truth. Because I know some people here that there's no way they would have won. But... but I want to get something. Maybe you came second, you came third. I had this cousin of mine. They call him Ojoning Miodaudu. We used to run in primary school. And any time I have to run against him, he must win. Any time. If the physical and health education, any time they pair us together, you all know their struggle. Because he's quite a tall fellow. Now, I want to ask a question. Did you want to win? But you didn't win. You know why you didn't win? Flesh. This flesh wants no trophy. That's why after a while you gave up. You say you were not called into athletics. Your flesh said to you, it is not your calling. It is not your place.
The flesh does not aspire for anything.
Usain Bolt is off now. Who is the new guy? The guy that beat him at the last Olympics. Is it Kathleen? Oh, forgotten his name. The guy tried his best. For years, Usain Bolt had to get old for the guy to win the gold. But I know, every time I'm watching those athletes, you know what I look at? Their face, the looks in that slow motion. And you see them, you know, stretching. Do you know what I can hear their flesh? You fool. Stop running now. Stop running. What are we even doing here? And you can see another, you can see another inner voice from the inside. I said, I'm taking the gold. I'm going to take the gold. I said, what is gold? Stop now. The things that truly propel us in life are from inside. Galatians chapter 5. Let me show you something. Galatians 5. So when scripture says flee fornication, it's not because God wants to marry your wife. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 18. This is one thing people miss, and I want you to get it. Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Meaning, if you are led, if you're not led by the Spirit, you're under the law. So what really truly sets us apart as people of grace is that now that we're no longer following rules and regulations, we have a Spirit that now directs our life. Until you come to that place, you cannot experience grace in its fullness. So the Spirit-led life, the Spirit-controlled life, are you mean, is the foolproof that the grace of God has truly taken a hold of you and can now bring to pass God's plans and purpose for your life. So he said, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19. No, go to verse 16. You know, let me not read the laws to you. Go to verse 16. I say then, do what? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the pressures or the affections of the flesh. But you know what most Christians think when they read this scripture? They try their best not to fulfill the lust of the flesh, so that they can walk in the Spirit. So they try their best. Lord, not going to say any bad thing today. No curse word today. Somebody steps on your toes. You get what I'm saying? Your husband gives you an answer you don't like. Metamorphosis. See, that is not metamorphosis. You come into your house. Yes, you want to go to some of those ungodly secular music channel. There are some Christians still listening to Amen. Secular music. I'm sorry to say, for whatever you are getting, I left there since. I don't think you are doing better than me. See. So you come to the house, you know, you take your this is not just willpower we're talking about. The Egg does not exert any energy to become the larva or to become the pupa. It just has to be in the right environment. It's a work of grace that is taking place. So you take the remote, you want to change to that channel and say, because I want to walk in the spirit. If I do this, it's going to affect my walk in the spirit. That's what a lot of Christians do. You go to a shop, you are buying wine, you know, 15%. You know, your mind is wondering, only 15, but 15, is 15 within the Christian range, you know? I'm going to say so. You start asking, is it 15 that is... you pick your phone. Pastor Doka, is it 15 that is bad or is anything from 36? Are you getting me? See, that's not Christianity. Christianity is not about right and wrong. It's a life. I need you to get this. Even people who are not saved can do the things you are talking about. Listen to me, don't be deceived. The wine that Jesus used for communion is not juice, it's wine. It's wine, it's wine. You know what I mean? The wine that they were using in the early church is wine. Because nobody gets drunk on juice. So people have come to me and said, Pastor Remy, what do you think about alcohol? I said, there are more scriptures against it than for it. And anything the federal government is warning you about, you have to be very careful. Praise God. But walk in the Spirit. It's not you not trying to fulfill the lust of your flesh so I can walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not. See, trust scriptures. It's emphatic. You will not. So what we teach people is not how not to walk in the flesh. It's how to walk in the Spirit. Reading God's word is walking in the Spirit. Meditating God's word is walking in the Spirit. Are you getting me? Praying in the Holy Ghost is walking in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit means to be more disposed to things that build your spirit. That's why we're talking about developing your spirit. Please, can we come? Amen. Minister Blessing, please come. Praise the Lord. Come this way. If this is flesh and this is the spirit, I want you to drag Kavi to I want you to drag Kavi to church, to the communion table. Drag him. Do your best. Kavi doesn't even feel like anything is happening. Do you get it? Some of you are trying to do Christian things with these are your spirits. Look, in the realm of your spirit is just like Minister Blessing. Your flesh, your affection, the place of your affection, your body is so loud, it's talking. That's why sometimes, you know, you are looking there, but I want you to drag her to the speaker. You know, the speaker now is the nightclub. Are you, you know, be looking there. You know, be looking there, but drag her. You see, it doesn't matter the willpower. Are you getting it?
It doesn't matter the willpower. Eventually, you know, you are born again. You see, that's why a lot of you are crying in the night. You know, by the time you will go to that nightclub, you are done. When you come back, you say, Lord, me again. Why? Why? So you are crying. You say, Lord, this secret sin, Lord, nobody can know. Nobody can know, Lord. Then you get up. You know, most times when you come here, you come and say, I will never go there again. Then guess what your body is saying? Who told you? You're going to follow me. Then you try for 1 week, 7 days, 8 days. You feel like you are moving. Then the flesh gets a wonder, saying, where did we stop? Grabs you again and brings you here. I know why there's that dissatisfaction in you. This is where normally you will go. You'll come back feeling like you had the time of your life. You go to those things again. It's like a dog going back to its vomit. Because you know that there is something superior you have received on the inside. It's how you manifest that glory. Thank you. So you know just what you do. Come. Amen, come. This is what you do as you are led of the Spirit of God. Are you with me? This becomes your spirit. This becomes your flesh. Please be more gentle now. Yeah? So you can always drag. Your flesh is your property. Don't think your flesh is your master. You can drag. You know, sometimes if you so starve the flesh, it will be so weak. If you say, let's go to church, say, why not? Are you getting me? Let's do this. Everywhere it will go. So don't be focused on what you shouldn't be doing. Be focused on what you should be feeding on. Amen. And this is how you'll be able to stand and speak in faith to situations. You know, sometimes you hear a man of God speak to a situation, you speak and it feels like your words are bouncing. It is the strength behind those words. You know, a lot of times people like to teach that Jesus stood and spoke to the fig tree and it dried up. Every time they say, all you need to do is speak. You have been speaking now, so you should ask yourself, what is it? You should also go and study a great while before day. You know, all those great while before day, those moments. You know, people feel Jesus didn't have to put his flesh under. If he didn't have to put his flesh under, Hebrews would not say he was tempted in all points like we were. If his flesh didn't need to be put under, then he had no temptation. You cannot tempt a cow with a girl in miniskirt. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a temptation. You can't see this cow standing there. Then you wear this thing. You know, it's not a temptation. It's not in his sphere. For it to be a temptation, it means something that flesh likes. But the Bible says he was tempted in all fronts, but without sin. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So what are the spiritual indices? What are the spiritual indices for the proper stage? Amen. Now, this is when we say somebody is a spiritual Christian. Not just because people are following under God's power. Concerning the Corinthian church, the Bible says they did not come behind in any gift. Yet, a man was sleeping with his stepmom. So, I know we're teaching a series on intuitions and premonitions, but don't get me wrong. Those things are not the indices of spirituality. I heard some people say, how can a man of God flow so powerfully in the gifts of his spirit and then be, it's grace. And if he knows how to yield, are you getting me? God will always walk through him and produce results. So don't confuse charisma with character. spiritual Christians, are you getting me? Go beyond just having charisma. Are you getting me? Is that something has been formed on the inside of them. Are you listening to me? Some of you hear how for many years I keep testifying and say I've enjoyed divine health. It has not come by sleeping, you know. It has come by staying spiritually alert. Every day I quote my healing scriptures as though I'm wearing my clothes. I quote Isaiah 53:1-5. I quote 1 Peter 2:24. I quote Genesis 15:15. Amen. Psalm 118. I keep those scriptures constantly. Romans 8:11. Galatians 3:13. I keep those scriptures constantly running through my mind. Not to impress somebody. To fortify my spirit. So that germs, sicknesses, and diseases will not have an entrance into my body. So when I say, look, I've enjoyed divine health for over 20 something years, it's over 20 something years of activity, staying in God's word. See, it's not just enough to know a truth. A truth you are not practicing means you are losing it. That's why Peter said that as long as I'm in this tent, I know you are already established in the present truth, but as long as I'm in this tent, what will I do? I will still remind you. So hear me. You know, we have young Christians who are in search of new remas. Sometimes not new rema. You need to go back to old messages and listen to them again. Glory to God. I told my wife the other day, about 2 weeks ago, no, 3 weeks ago, I went back and took Kenneth Hagin's The Name of Jesus and began to play them all over again and was taking notes. Sat down, listened. Do you know the first time I listened to The Name of Jesus by Kenneth E. Hagin? Amen. It was in 1996. And I played those messages again and again. But this year again, I was just thinking about The Name of Jesus. I gathered those 8 messages. Thank God for digital formats. And one, the shortest message is 50 minutes, 50-something minutes. And I was listening to them again, and it dawned on me that there were many things that I have not heard all these years that he has been preaching it. Come on. And I discovered that there are many things I heard that I have forgotten. Some of you are looking for the next... You don't grow by eating the next rice. It's the same rice you've been eating that somebody is going to boil tomorrow and you're going to eat. And the only way to keep the remembrance of rice in your memory is to eat it again. Some of you are saying, all these people, all this pastoral message, is there any latest one? What's the latest one? It's not the latest message you need. I didn't hear you say amen. You know, 3 years ago, I was going through my old jotters. And I saw the first message that Dr. Poinenche preached in camp meeting that year. When he came for camp meeting. And I was reading through the notes. And it just triggered something in me again. So, treasure spiritual things. When you come to church, come with a note. Write. Save it somewhere. Type it somewhere. Keep it. Don't write. And then when you are going, remember to go with it. Amen. Because sometimes we come here and we see the brother's note. So what are the indices for spiritual growth? Praise God. The first one is love. 1 Corinthians 13:9.
You know, from verse 4, it talks about love is this, love is kind, love is patient. The indices of a mature believer is love. Is love. Verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. When we get to heaven, we are going to be shocked. All these pastors are like correcting all the teachers in the world. They will just call that what they knew was just in part. Nobody knows everything. As I'm not quick to attacking anybody's rhema, provided it does not deny the lordship of Christ. See, I was watching TBN, and I saw this lady for the first time. I never heard her minister before. And she was talking about, in fact, when she came up, she just said, she's going to talk about how the name of her spirit. You know, I don't really know names of spirits, but she called it, you know, she said, the spirit of something can cause sicknesses and disease. She now said, it can possess a Christian. I said, the spirit. I said, how did TBN allow this one to make it here? I wanted to go somewhere and say, listen. And you know that yesterday as I sat there listening to her, I might not have agreed with everything. Maybe I'm still learning. But you know, she brought out some very powerful things about unforgiveness. And that's what she was just teaching. And she tied it to that madman of Gadara who was bound with chains and everything. And I said, wow. So sometimes you just need to hear what people have to share, because we know in part and we prophesy in part. Then verse 10 says, quickly, say, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, say, when I became a man, the word became there speaks of process. That means in the process of time, when I became a man, what did I do? I put away childish things. So what's the difference between a man and a child? It's not their biological makeup. It's how they talk, how they think, and how they reason. What? In love. A lot of times we read 1 Corinthians 13, from verse 4 to 8, we stop. You need to continue from verse 9. Because what he's saying is that when you focus on love, those characteristics of love, love is not easily irritated, love is not does not seek its own good, love doesn't do this. It means that you can internalize those things until you begin to think that way, you begin to reason that way, and you begin to talk that way. So character is the test of spirituality. Love. The fruit of love. Character. So when you hear, look at what so-and-so person did. I think I've decided to maintain my distance. The person is thinking, you can take that thought, weigh it with 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. If it's not consistent, what do you see? A child. Hello? No, hear what I want to say first. Come on, enter my car. Let's go. Are you going in my direction? No, I've changed my mind. I'm not going that direction again. I say, what's the problem? He said, the other time I entered the car. The other time I entered his car. This guy gave me warning, kept warning me. What's the meaning of that? Because of car.
touch one CD, so I should drop it. I tried to on the AC, say it's too high. You know, I'm trying to do this in the car. So if he didn't give me a lift, he will not talk to me like that. And in case you don't know, I'm not his mate. You see? Take that action, take that thought, and wait with verse 4 to verse 8. If it's not consistent, there's a big child there. It doesn't matter whether the person is praying fire from the nose. If there's anything a Christian should strive in growing in, is to grow in love. Listen, talent can take you where? Amen. It might not be able to keep you. You can sing somewhere and people will be like, wow. See grace. Whoa. Never heard that kind of voice. Never seen that kind of anointing. A few years and you might vanish. For lack of what? Character. This simple love. Some of you, if you talk less and learn to listen more without being angry, your miracle won't be passing you by. It's obvious we can't round up this series today. I'm passing you by. You know, some of you, if you're in some circles, all you need is honor. It's just honor. Character. A prominent singer in this gospel musician in this country was invited to come and minister in one of the biggest meetings in this country. So let's leave it like that. So he said that if they don't send him ₦1,000,000, that his fee now is ₦1,000,000. See, I'm not prophesying doom. All these artists charging money everywhere they go. We have seen how they end. After a period of time, you don't see them. To be honest. Pastors that have chased money, they are not available again. I know pastors do it too. There are some pastors that if you're inviting them, you must speak a fee. No. Don't do such things. I know some of you want to have Pastor Aramis status so that your name will be abused. Don't start traveling to get honorarium. We live by faith. So if you like, don't feed on this word. You'll be surprised how you go for some meetings. And they tell you that, thank you so much for coming. And you have to leave there and say, Father, thank you for the joy of being able to preach to these people. And I've been to many. Not one. And I don't remember the hurt. Do you believe that in this Abuja, I was once kept in an uncompleted building? As guest minister. Not for one night, for two nights. I even got missing. So it's not honorarium. Yes, I receive honorarium. In fact, there are some meetings that when I'm coming, it's like I'm carrying extra baggage on the plane. You know why? The money is, the check is so heavy. But it's not honorarium. The primary thing on my heart is that you gave me an opportunity to speak into people's lives. Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? Amen. So stop thinking like a child. And that minister was invited, and guess what? You know what this man of God did? The church members were angry. He said, no, let him come. So they wired ₦1,000,000 to his account. He came for the meeting. And he kept waiting for when they would invite him up to sing.
And the pastor walked up to him and said, "Thank you so much for coming, sir. We wanted somebody who would be a blessing to people, not somebody that will entertain people. Your ticket is booked." They gave him the money, gave him everything. He had a great time. As he left there, the million naira was like a curse in his account. He had a change of heart. He's the one telling younger men, don't sing because of money. Don't, it's not about money. I say, thank God for the wisdom of that pastor to teach him that way. Some of us will not allow you to just go with our money like that. Amen. We'll just tell you, it's okay, no problem. We'll get back to you. Now, I must be honest. It's an honor. The second index is righteousness. A right understanding and application of righteousness is the second index of spiritual maturity. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. So tell your neighbor, check your love walk. You know, I still feel like talking about love. You know, the more you grow in the things of God, the less offended you get. You give up childish things. Imagine on that cross, Jesus said, "Forgive them." Lord, forgiveness is not easy. It's only powerful. Somebody say forgiveness is easy. Maybe they've not hammered you in a very hard place. Forgiveness is not easy. But it's possible. It's not an impossible thing. Because you are on a cross for no wrong. Even according to the law, they couldn't find any crime. Then they are slapping you. They beat you. Spitting on you. Then you still, in your prayer, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, the first time I read it, I said, "Jesus, they know exactly what you're doing." But you see, you know, I was thinking like that. A child. Should I tell you why Jesus forgave on that cross? Resurrection was bigger than offense. If he didn't forgive, are you getting me? He would have been locked in the grip of Satan's power in that grave. That means he had his eyes set on where he was going. He would not allow unforgiveness to stop him from getting there. That's a man thinking. Some of you get offended at everything. If somebody drives on the road, you can't show mercy. What kind of nonsense driving is that? Idiot. Move this thing. You must listen to me. You must not. You mustn't. I know I'm hitting some of you. Maybe you park your car, somebody just goes and says, "Are you okay?" Then, you know, instead of the guy saying he's sorry, he said, "You two, take this." You say, "Me, take it. I know who I am." You don't know who you are. The only thing rising up in you is that flesh. Then guess what? That whole, this thing, back home, you don't have time to think about God's goodness. You are just thinking of how the person insulted you. You are wishing you see the person again. Then you wish you were the governor. Are you getting me? You wish you were the president. You say, "Why didn't I go to NDA?" You see the thoughts. See the thoughts that begins to go through your mind. It's not necessary. So understanding righteousness and its application is a second test of spiritual what? Indices of spiritual maturity at the level stage. For though by this time you ought to be what? Teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Verse 13 says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk," notice it didn't say those who partake of milk. He said, those, everyone who partakes only, underline it, partakes only of milk is what? Is unskilled. Now, notice the word. The word there is unskilled. Or, simply put, an unskilled person is a quack. Have you seen quack doctors? Quack mechanics? Quack electricians? He's a quack. He identifies with a profession, but doesn't know the rudiments and cannot, he might even have knowledge, but will not be able to apply the knowledge in open field. So he said the person is what? Is a quack, is unskilled, and skill comes over time. So the Bible says if somebody partakes only of milk, this person is unskilled. And who is the person that partakes only of milk? The baby Christian. Thank you, the child. So he's unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. Then look at what he says next. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. Hallelujah. That is, those who by reason of use, remember, skill comes over time. Those who by reason of use, exercising themselves. There was a time to pay their bills. They exercised the word of God. There was a time their bodies were attacked with sickness. They exercised the word of God. Am I talking to someone? There was a time when they had options, but they stayed with the word of God. Who by reason of use have their what? Senses exercised to discern bad, both good and evil. Don't get it wrong. Not right and wrong. They don't have their senses exercise to discern right and wrong. You know, some baby Christians. Is it wrong for? Is it wrong? Is it okay as a Christian? Should we during fasting? Should we eat cricket? I don't know if I'm talking to someone. If I wear yellow or sky blue, does that mean I'm not righteous? Come on, mothers here. Who comes to ask you such questions? If I'm sleeping in church, does that mean I'm backsliding? Because I know some people are doing it now, amen. Do you know, Pastor Steve, some things shock me. Some people, the moment they sit down, they start sleeping. I said, was that the plan? I've seen it. No, in fact, some people are even laughing now. But see, as they just sit down, their eyes just, you know. I don't know, they are very hardworking. See, not good and not right and wrong. Righteousness about right and wrong. It's discerning good. You can identify God in something. You can tell that this is Satan. You can trace the author of this thing. Someone can even be bringing a good, well-packaged thing for you. But you have had your senses what? Exercise. God's word has attuned your sense of judgment. You can tell that this is not the right spirit. That's why one of the things Ephesians 4 says that no longer be tossed to and fro. You can't toast these people. Righteousness means that I'm established in certain truth.
I have tested this thing. I know it. Are you getting me? And I can tell you that this thing is not going to work. That is not word of knowledge. It comes by use. When I see some pastors in ministry and the way they are struggling, I can tell that some of the things they are doing that might look great. God didn't author this. The pastor met me and said that God called him. As he was talking, I just said, God, it's not time to leave. It's not word of knowledge. You know why? Started the trajectory that he took. I could already tell, because from what experience I could tell. He ignored me and went to another place. You know, some people have itching ears. If you don't scratch it, they'll move to another place. You know, so he went somewhere else. Barely 2 years later, he came back. He said, "I've done everything. Nothing's working." I said, "How can something work when it didn't even begin in the first place?" You can tell the word of righteousness. See, you know, when some people are saying, well, you know, if you understand, the word of God is a double-edged sword. If you understand righteousness as being your sins just forgiven, and you don't understand that it's mastery over Satan, you will be living defeated. Because righteousness means boldness to be able to approach God, and it also means what? Confidence to stand in front of Satan and address him. That is how you discern right and wrong. Do you know, a point in time comes, like something like tithes. You might go and do all your research and bamboozle me with your theological argument about why we shouldn't pay tithes. But you know one thing you can't take away from me? The way I have practiced it, and I've been able to discern, I have come back with results. You are wasting your time. Take it to another person and go and make that argument. If you like, go on a platform and argue it. See, you can't come and start saying, "You, Pastor Roman, you know, I've been tithing for over 40 years, you know. Over 40 years, and I just discovered." You know, some people think that when Americans say things, it's correct. It's not every American that's correct. You need to read your Bible. An American missionary met me and said, "Pastor Roman, I really like your church, and I like the messages you guys are preaching and what you're doing, but, you know, I kind of get uncomfortable when I come to your church, you know." I said, "What's it?" I said, "What's it?" He said, "When you have to, you know, serve the tithe, and, you know, those who don't have, you know, you could just look on their faces and the kind of shy, kind of, you know, feeling down." And I said, "Mama, we don't need to do the thing, don't they?" He said, and then, you know, you just have to shout money, comment, you know, and all that, and all that stuff, you know. I for one, I don't really believe in tithe, you know. I believe all that I have is God. I say, "Me too. All that I have is for God. But I believe in tithe." When she was there, I said, "Thank you for your candid opinion. Do not rebuke an elder in public." That's what scripture says. I said, "Thank you," and left. She came to church and still saw us. I have descended. Righteousness means you take a stand. You know what is right. You know what is wrong. Are you with me? You know what works. You know what doesn't work. A few months later, I went to her house. God asked me to go and sow a seed to her. In fact, I was just in the office. God said, "Look, I had some dollars." He said, "Take and go and sow it to her." As I entered the house, I was hearing her, money, come on. As when jungle mature, get the kids to come. Amen.
When I handed her the envelope and she opened it and saw it, she just burst into tears. She just started crying. My son, my son. If I was immature, I said, you see, Mama, this is how the thing comes. You understand? When we say this thing, this is how it comes. Tell your neighbor, grow up. Amen. Were you blessed tonight? Please, let's start. Praise God. Give God praise. Continue next Friday, next Wednesday. Just go ahead, give God praise. Set your affection on things above. You know, make up your mind. I set my affection on things above. No, I just want. No, this is a believer service, so we can pray in tongues. Amen. Amen. I want to believe that every person. Yeah. So open your mouth and pray.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard. And we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.